Lord, we just pray that you will help us to see afresh the joy, the beauty, the good news of this day. We pray that what we hear from your word will make a difference in our lives as we go out from this place today and into our weeks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more time for luck. He is risen.
Yeah.
And not, of course, not he was risen. He is risen. We serve a living Saviour. Easter's not about just the memory of a brave martyr who gave his life in our place. He's not just a man who lived on in the memory of his friends and in the legacy that he left behind. But Jesus is alive right now. It's true that for us who have never seen Jesus in the flesh, as you know, sort of talked about, you know, blessed are you, Thomas, who has seen, but blessed are those who have not seen. For us, the fact that Jesus is alive can feel a bit more distant than it might have done on that very first day. But Jesus is just as real now as when Thomas was invited to put his fingers in his hands and on his side. Just as real as when Mary grabbed hold of him in the garden in her joy at seeing him again. Just as real as when he sat on the beach with his disciples eating the fish with them that they'd just caught. It's the same Jesus who smashed sin and death. The same Jesus who walked up out of the grave. That same Jesus who we call upon for forgiveness and help and comfort. It's that same Jesus who stands now in heaven pleading our case every time that we sin. The high priest who intercedes for us in heaven and who delights in doing that. In saying that there is no condemnation for those who are his, who are with him. It's that same Jesus who is working in the world today. And he's working with us and through us in the world today. And I want to think a little bit this morning about what the risen Saviour is doing in you. The passage this morning is one that is not one of the gospel accounts of Jesus' resurrection, but it is a passage that is full of the resurrection, what it means, what it was for. In Romans, starting at chapter 5, verse 20, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How could we live in it any longer? Oh, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we'd been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Because Jesus died and rose again, we are under grace. We may live a new life. That's what Paul wrote in those verses. Who can live a new life? Anyone, he said, anyone who is baptized into Christ Jesus. And to be clear on that as well, in those early days of the church, as soon as somebody was believed, they were baptized. The Ethiopian that Philip met on his chariot, who was struggling to understand Isaiah, Philip shared the good news with him, and the moment he believed, there was water nearby, and he went and baptized him. And so in the early church, saying you were baptized is synonymous with you believed and became part of the church. So everyone who has believed in Jesus, I mean, don't get me wrong, being baptized is something Jesus encourages us to do, and if there's anyone here who believes in Jesus and has never been baptized, come and talk to me about it, because that's a wonderful thing to do, to show our faith in Him. But what Romans is telling us is that anyone who believes in Jesus, anyone who's chosen to follow Him, anyone who is, as he likes to say in his letter to the Ephesians, anyone who is in Christ, they have been buried, they have been crucified with Jesus, they have been buried with Him, and we have been raised with Him. All of us who believe in Jesus have died to sin, which is something that some of us might wrestle with. Some of us might wonder about, because I believe in Jesus and I still sin. And Paul believed in Jesus and he still sinned. What does Paul mean when he says that we are dead to sin? Does being dead to sin mean that believers will never sin? Well, if that was the case, Paul wouldn't have had to say, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. If it happened automatically, we would just be doing that, and it wouldn't need to be said. But I want you to picture, if you can, the person that you were before you knew Jesus. It's easier for some than for others. Some people had a real stark moment of this is what they were and this is what they are. And some people have been in the church as long as they have known. But think, if you can, of that person that you were. Paul tells us that person is dead. That person was crucified with Christ. They're not here anymore. The you who is here is somebody else. Somebody different. Now, we might not feel all that different all the time. It is a more gradual process than this passage necessarily makes it seem, but there are other passages that talk about the gradual way. But we might not feel all that different. But remember, we don't know how different we would be if it wasn't for Jesus with us. We don't know what other things might be in our lives if we weren't following Him. What is important to us, what we value, what we think is right and what is wrong has shifted because of knowing Jesus, because of what He has taught us. We are a new creation, not ruled by sin. We do still sin, but we're not ruled by sin. We're not slaves to sin, Paul says. We will sin. Some of the struggle remains, but we're no longer enslaved. The enemy tries to draw us back into being who we were, but that person is dead. They were crucified with Christ. Anyone who has died is set free from sin, Paul said. In the death Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. What sin did he die for? Not his sin. There wasn't any of his sin to die for. But the death he died to sin, he died to our sins, to pay the price for them on the cross. And if we have been united with him in a death like his, we also will surely be united with him in a resurrection like his. Often on Easter Sunday, we're reminded that Jesus' resurrection gives us hope that we too will rise. And that is a wonderful hope to have. A hope that one day all the aches and the pains of this world will be gone. All of the mourning, not the time of day, but the funerals and all of those things. All of the sickness, all of the pain will be gone. And all will be made new. And we can see that and we can hope for that because the first part of it has already happened. The proof is there in Jesus and what he has done for us. He is the proof of concept. But what Paul goes on to tell us beyond that hope that we have for the future is that the new life that Jesus has won for us is already begun, here and now. It's already begun in you. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the new life that we can live. Because of the cross and because of the empty tomb. Because he died and because he rose again. If we are in Jesus, his victories are our victories. What is true of him is true of his people. And so if he was made new, so he is making us new. Now, of course, we weren't there that morning when Jesus woke up in the tomb. And the stone was rolled away and he walked out. But nevertheless, that was the day when our new life began. The new life that Jesus has won for us. And just like our physical lives here on earth, they started without any input on our end, without us having made it all happen. In the same way, our life in Jesus, our spiritual life, was started by what God has done and what God is doing in each and every one of you. We have a new life. We're like branches from an old vine, a discolored and dying vine that has been cut off and grafted into a new vine, and something new flows through our veins, new sap. New life. Or maybe, I'm not a green thumb at all, so maybe that one doesn't speak to you at all. But maybe we're like a car that's just been started on a cold morning. And nothing warm might be coming out of the vents just yet, but the engine has been started. Something new is ticking through. And we know that what has started, God will finish. God has started something new in you so that Paul can call to us to say, live this new life that God has called you to live under grace. Count yourselves as dead to sin and alive in Christ, not because by doing that you will earn your salvation. Avoiding sin and doing good things was never enough for us to save ourselves before God. That's why Jesus came. But we live that life dead to sin and alive to God because that is what he has done in us. That is what we can do in response to the fact that he has saved us. Not we do good things and then we are saved, and then we get to go to heaven. But we are saved. And out of thankfulness to the incredible love, in response to the love he has shown, that is where we do the good things that we do. Not to be saved, because we're saved. Count yourselves as dead to sin and alive to Christ. Not giving ourselves over to sin and the temptation of it, but offering ourselves and our bodies and our lives and our work as offerings to God. Not because we have to, but because we can. Because Jesus has set us free, now in part, but one day in full. He has set us free from the power of sin and from the wages of sin, which is death. When Paul calls us to live, to be dead to sin but alive to Christ because we have died with him and raised with him, he is calling us to become who we already are in Jesus. Jesus has made us a new creation. Jesus has made us, like, his righteousness is on us. He has made us righteous in God's eyes. And now in this meantime, every little day, we are becoming who we are in Christ. Becoming more and more that person that Jesus is growing us to be. Not in our own strength, but in what Jesus has done. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death and your resurrection. And we thank you that for everybody who believes in you, we are counted with you in that.